You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Hi, welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. My name is Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist and the host of this show. And the whole purpose of the It's Her Time podcast is to help us ladies understand our bodies better so that we can feel our best no matter what age or stage of life that we're in. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk to a special guest. Her name is Tanya Fiennes. She's a holistic health practitioner, and she's been working with women through all phases of life for over 25 years. She's amazing. And today we're going to specifically talk about how we can balance between natural health practices and modern medicine. This is going to be an episode where you're going to learn a lot, no matter what age you are. If you're 20, you're 30, 40, or 50 and beyond, this episode is going to be very helpful for you. But before we dive into this episode, let's join Jess for a Mixers Girls Say. On today's Mixers Girls Say, we're actually going to talk through some intimate things.
Yeah.
And Cody and I were talking about this before, and I think something that is really important from Mixers is that we first feel so grateful to be cultivating a community of women within Mixers that are real, authentic, genuine women that are willing to share everything from their personal wins to just a couple weeks ago when we asked about current struggles and how Mixers can actually be showing up better for our community. And I think sometimes in life as women, when we're experiencing challenges, it can feel so isolating and you can feel like you must be the only person that currently maybe doesn't have anything going right, or the only person that's struggling with your role as a mother, or the only person that's struggling with some health challenges. And it can feel so isolating. It can be hard to talk through. And the reason why we want to share some of these submissions from our Mixers community today is that hopefully some of you listening can hear that, in fact, there are other women out there. While we wish that everyone wasn't struggling and we wish that we could take this all away, it's actually a way for us to connect and see one another as real humans. And I think it's helpful to go about your everyday, even through the grocery store, through the car wash, walking through the mall, and just look at other women and see them as a human that has a story, has challenges, has wins, has exciting things, but like just see people as humans and spread as much just care and like genuine love as you can.
I love that. And think of what an impact that makes on people just to smile, you know? If you can have that mindset, realize that you don't know the struggles that other people are going through. Just assume everybody is, even if you're seeing them and they look like all is perfect, know that we're all going through different struggles. And it's actually those struggles that make our joys that much greater. So, you know, it's good. But I love everything you just said about that. And I can't wait to hear what some of these women are going through. Just because I feel like we want to just wrap around you like a big hug. We want you to know that you're not alone. We hear you. We see you.
Well, and we relate to challenges. We've had our own many, many, many personal challenges, business challenges, family challenges, whatever it is. Like we have had those as well. So as women, even over here behind Mixers, like we have needed one another as well. We are here for you. We hear you. And so let's get into sharing.
Okay.
So Kate, she wrote in and said, depression from extreme morning sickness. It's just debilitating. Yeah. It's so hard because then you wake up in the morning and you're supposed to be ready to start a new day. And then you start with sickness. I actually experienced that. You did too.
I did too.
Pregnant with my twins, just like you could not find relief. It felt like every day was 7 days worth. Anyway, I'm so sorry, Kate.
Yes, we feel for you. Try Her Baby. That can help. We put some ingredients in there that can really help to reduce the morning sickness. Because that is, it's like having the flu for, I know we always say 9 months, but really pregnancy is usually like 10 months long. So it's like having every day the flu and it's terrible.
Yeah.
We feel for you.
Emmy, comparing myself to others. You are not alone. You're not alone. Comparison is the thief of joy. I think something that I have found really powerful, because I also think it's just part of being a human where like you see, it's not even always from a place of jealousy or insecurity, but you can be looking at other people's lives and seeing, you know, a different family structure or different things that maybe they have that you aspire to have. It doesn't always have to be from like a negative space. But I think something that is helpful is working through personally, like what really is it that is like that I'm wanting or like desiring, and how can I achieve this for myself? And like, I can have this too, because I always look at like, let's take business success.
Yeah.
The feeling I have is that if other people have found success and if other people have accomplished things that we wish to accomplish, I absolutely see it and aspire to be like that, or dream of being like so-and-so person in the success that they've had. But I can do it in a way that's not, like, if they've done it, I can do it too.
Yes, exactly.
We can do it too. They figured it out, so can I.
And that's that mindset of abundance. And truly, it's like, whatever is possible for someone is possible for you, but it will always look different. You know, every one of us has the desire and the ability to be able to make our dreams come true, whatever those look like. But they will be the dreams that are right for us, and in a way that is how we can contribute best for the world. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, last one is Kata, body image issues. I'm 36 years old, a mother of three and a former ballerina. I don't feel like I'm myself in my body anymore.
Yeah. I relate to that. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It's hard, especially when you have so much of your history is as an athlete of some type, you know? And so what the body that comes with that sometimes can become your identity. And it's not, there's not anything negative necessarily about that, except when it is negative, you know? And so I think sometimes we just have to recognize that we're ever-changing beings. We're still always the same person. We have the same essence, the same spirit about us, but the body, the vessel that we live in can change, and it can change, you know, for good. It's really important for us to love wherever we are in the moment and just do what we can to just care for ourselves and give our body the nourishment and the movement and the nutrition and all of the good things that we know that we're supposed to be doing every day. And just know that, you know, we see much more than just the body. Think about that too. Yeah. When you look at other people, you're not just only looking at their body. You're looking at their smile.
I agree. Thank you for sharing some very personal and intimate things about, you know, yourselves. And we appreciate getting to know, even around vulnerable conversations, we appreciate it. And so thanks for being here. And now we can go into the episode. Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com, M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
All right, Tanya, this is going to be an awesome episode, because I feel like you probably, I get so many women who are in these different stages of their life, and they have so many questions when it comes to how to support their health and how they transition from perimenopause into menopause through like their nutrition and lifestyle. But also I'm really excited to dive into how we can balance the two, how we can also balance the natural approach as opposed to maybe working with our medical doctors as well. Yeah. But say hi to everybody. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, how you got into all of this.
Okay. Well, hi everybody. My name is Tanya Fines. And yeah, I've been in like health, fitness, wellness forever. I mean, my career started out as a high school teacher. So I was in the health sciences in high school, but I was always interested in nutrition and fitness. And I was interested in wellness before it kind of became cool, actually.
Right.
So, after I left teaching, because I started my family, I just continued to take courses because I'm addicted to learning and always wanting to learn more. And eventually started my own business and was working as a health and nutrition coach, you know, wellness coach, a nutrition counselor. And I'm from Canada. So that's where it all started. And I lived in New Zealand for about 5 years. And now I'm living in beautiful Tampa, Florida. And my whole career and what I do in that industry has just continued to evolve and grow as I learn and, you know, continue to get better and want to get better. And it was particularly working with women, because that is really typically 100% of the people that come to me.
Yeah. And it's so similar to my journey too. You know, I was in private practice for like 25 years and completely had, you know, it just evolved. It just organically evolved. And luckily we've just landed here at a place where we can help support women, right? I just feel like it's natural because we are women. And so we're going through all the different stages of life and trying to learn all that we can just to help support ourselves. But now we get to help others. So I love it. I love that we get to connect and that the audience gets to connect with you as well. And how fun. We wish that we lived in, I wish I lived in Tampa, Florida right now. It's freezing here in Utah. So.
Where are you?
I'm in Utah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Much colder.
A little bit colder, but that's okay. It's still colder, beautiful. Yeah. Still beautiful. Yeah. Well, awesome. Okay. So let's just go through and talk a little bit about what is it that you, when you first work with women, what is the first thing that you're seeing? What's like a common, you know, I know everybody's different, but tell me a little bit about like what you love to work with and teach women.
I think right before anything, the common thing I see is that women, when they would at the time, you know, pre-COVID life, when I had an office and people would come into the office, but now it's a lot of like this virtual. Yeah. When a woman first meets with me, the underlying theme is that she's really kind of put herself last for most of her life, because we are the caregivers and the nurturers. And I'm not discounting the men out there that are doing that, but I am a woman. I work with women. I see women all the time in what I do. And they come to me and they put themselves last for so long that they're not even sure where how to start. And there's a bit of guilt. Because in doing this process, you have to actually prioritize yourself, which means being, I use the word selfish, like you have to be, you know, a little bit selfish. And that tends to be the hardest hurdle with most women, is getting them to commit to a process where they have to put themselves first, which means that if somebody is in desperate need of something, is that really like a life or death situation in that moment? Like, can lunch be, you know, can that sandwich wait 10 minutes while you finish doing something, you know, whether it's stretching or whatever. So that is usually typically the number one thing I see, is they've put themselves last. They're kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're not really sure what's wrong, but they want to be better. And, you know, they want to do what they need to do to get better, but they have to make some kind of peace in their mind about making themselves a priority in their life, of looking after everybody and everything else.
Oh, I agree. And I've seen that too. And I think too, a lot of times by the time they finally come to somebody like you or to me, they've put themselves last for a very long time. And they've dealt with a lot of symptoms and a lot of just discouragement or whatnot for many, many years. And so the fact that they even come to see somebody like us, going to a holistic health practitioner or any other type of health practitioner, that is a good step in the right direction. That is starting to decide that it's time and you're okay to start putting your needs first. But I do think that's so powerful, Tanya. I think that's so important that each of the women that are listening today, I just hope you know that it's not selfish ever to put your own health needs as a priority, because, you know, I know that the drive behind that is that we love taking care of others. We're caregivers, but in order to be able to be good caregivers, we need to be able to be in a position where we have good health and strength and energy and vitality. And that allows us to be better caregivers in the long run. So absolutely. I think that's absolutely the key. That's where we begin, is just that permission for ourselves that it's time to take care of us. Okay. So a lot of times for me, I don't know, I would love for you to talk a little bit more about this. When I would first see people and they did make the decision to make the first steps, we would start to establish kind of like where they have been coming from, like you just had talked about. But then now, what are some of the first steps that we can start implementing to try to get them onto the right course?
Right. Well, some of the, it's, you're absolutely right. The first conversation is always about, well, Tell me about your life. What does a day look like? What does a week look like? And if you, you know, by listening, you tend to, and as they develop that trust in you, their conversations, you can hear the things that have been a pattern and things that they might not even recognize anymore as a pattern, because when you're a busy woman, a busy mom, you get into this mode of doing things a certain way to get everything done. And we can get caught up in doing things that not really realizing that over time have had an impact on our overall health and wellness, our energy, our patience, our stress, all of that. And as we get older and continue to, and I'll use the word neglected because it does become neglectful, it compounds and compounds, because as women, as we get older, our bodies change, our biochemistry change, things change. So, you know, it can become this snowball that rolls and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, that initial conversation is just hearing and listening to them. And that's important because, you know, they want to be heard. They just initially, right. They just want somebody to listen to them and not tell them you're crazy or stop whining, or you just need some sleep, or you just need a vacation, like that, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I always call it like ground zero. It's like, you know, okay, I've heard you talk and thank you for sharing with me. How's your sleep? Like, mm-hmm. But how many nights a week do you actually sleep 5 or more hours consistently without getting up?
Right.
And it amazed me how many women were not sleeping through the night consistently, like 7 nights a week. And if they did sleep through the night, it was because they collapsed in bed sometime in, you know, wee hours of the morning, exhausted. And while that's still sleep, it's not that same kind of sleep. That's like a, I'm so exhausted, I'm passing out because my body is just refusing to go any further. So we talk about sleep. I talk to them about, you know, things like how much, you know, water are you, mm-hmm. you know, how much water are you drinking? Because most of us are still not drinking enough, myself included. And, you know, movement, exercise, moving. And that doesn't mean you have to get up and go to the gym and train really hard.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Do you go for a walk? Like, you can get up in the morning and go for a 15, 20 minute walk in the sunshine, just because it's good for you and it feels good. It's a great way to start your day. Not because it's exercise, which it is, but because it's also psychologically, spiritually, and physically good for you to move. And when you kind of ask some of those basic questions, a lot of times you can see that kind of that aha moment, like, wow, when was the last time I slept through the night? When was the last time I just got up and went for a walk and didn't jump out of bed and start doing things on my list?
Yep.
You know, how often am I sipping water throughout the day, or am I running on coffee? And those are just 3 really simple things. And, you know, maybe some people listening to this might be thinking, oh, well, you know, yay, sleep, water, moving. But they're really big things that have a really big impact. And if you're not making them a part of your lifestyle, over time, there's going to be an impact that isn't really that positive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true. And I love, those are 3 basic things. I know that the audience has heard these before, but you do need to do a little self-check with yourself, because if these foundational steps are being kind of neglected, then of course you're, you know, let's say you're not getting the sleep that you're needing. And I was totally that woman in my 30s. Like, I was raising teenagers and running businesses and, you know, doing all the things. And I was exhausted all the time, but I could not sleep. And it was so frustrating. So did I feel motivated to get up in the morning and move my body? It was kind of like, I knew I had to do it and I did it, but it just made me even more tired. And it just seemed like it was just, you know, this vicious cycle. And even just that act of just getting up and starting to hydrate yourself in the morning, maybe that's where you start. That maybe that is what gives you just that amount of energy and just nourishment that your body needs in order to make better food choices throughout the day, and then to get you ready for sleep that night, or, you know, things like that. But don't just disregard these little foundational steps. They're key, and they're what's going to allow you to be able to start to implement a lot of other healthy habits into your life to get you to where you're feeling amazing in your 30s, your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Right. So those are key.
Right. And just, you know, when it comes to things like sleeping, I love to focus on sleep, because so many women, especially like that 35 plus, are just, they're not really getting sleep. If you are, say you, I've had women that are like, well, you know, I eat well, I go to the gym, you know, I'm doing my yoga, I'm doing all these things. I'm like, well, but what about your sleep? You know, the sleep, mm-hmm. their sleep is really, they're just not sleeping well. And like, they can't fall asleep. Or when they do, they're up 2 hours later and then they're up, they get up. So they decide to do a load of laundry because they can't sleep, or they lay there awake and frustrated, getting angry. So you can be doing a lot of the right things, but if you're not sleeping, a lot of those right things aren't working as well as they should be. Like these are just, there's certain elements or certain basic elements that your body needs so that all of the systems function as optimally as they can. And sleep is so critical.
Yeah, absolutely. These are all just the most important things that are going to help set us up for success. And, you know, sleep was where I needed to focus first. And once I started kind of getting that as a priority, it didn't happen overnight, no pun intended,
well, no.
But it was like trying to make sure that I was setting myself up at the first, you know, crack of dawn, you know, like when I was waking up the next morning, I would make sure I was getting the right light exposure. I was moving my body. I was getting the hydration that I needed throughout the day. And then I would just determine that, like, okay, I'm going to try to be in bed by 10 PM. And even if there's tons of things going on, you know, in my life, and I have a lot of work that I need to do, and it's the first, second all day that I've had a chance to even sit down or spend time with my husband, I'm going to just make this a priority. And making it a priority then eventually got me into a rhythm. And, you know, because all of these three things, Tanya, that you're mentioning, all of them have a major impact on our hormonal balance.
Yeah.
And that is why we are suffering a lot of times as we are going through these different phases of life, is because our hormones, our balance starts to change a little bit.
Change.
And so, yep. All right. Well, let's dive into all of that stuff, all of these fun changes. I know this conversation today, we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about menopause, but I want to begin with perimenopause. What are some of the things that we should be kind of aware of that's happening when we are going through perimenopause and preparing our bodies so that when we go into menopause, it's just an easy transition. No big deal, right? So,
well, I like to tell women, you're going to go through menopause. You can't, it's going to happen. You're a woman, so it's going to happen. So you have two choices. You can go through menopause like this.
Yeah.
Or you can go through menopause like this, because there's going to be shifts and changes and transitions. And it's not always like, I have yet to meet somebody that's like, oh, I went through menopause and didn't even know what happened. We all know it's happening. Mm-hmm. But to the degree is very, you know, it's hard to give a blanket answer to this because everybody's so different. And how we lived our lives up to that point has such an impact on how our menopause can go.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to, most women, whether they are outwardly open or aware of it, will start to notice that things are different. They'll start to notice that their cycles are changing. They might even start to notice things like I did start to notice. For me, it was the sleep thing. All of a sudden, I was mm-hmm. like, why am I struggling with this? And not mm-hmm. terribly, but it was just like, normally I can just hop into bed, fall asleep, stay asleep, wake up for the alarm. And that wasn't happening anymore. It was very slight, but it was noticeable. And I noticed it. And there was, I wouldn't get, what was the other thing? Oh, a little bit of like tenderness in the breast area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, very, very mild, but it was just something that I didn't have before. So it was different. So what I will say to women is when you notice certain change, like certain little things, but they're becoming sort of more consistent. That's your body's way of that's the pre-perimenopause phase. You're starting, you know, you're moving into that direction. And it's also kind of what you can do is instead of, because women, you know, I hear women getting fearful, like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep, or I'm getting these little hot flashes, or, you know, these little things are happening and they get really freaked out. And I'm like, okay, well, let's take a breath.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of power in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be different if all of a sudden, wham, you woke up and wham, you were in menopause and you had all the things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really life and the body's pretty amazing in that it gives us this transition into it. And I always tell women, okay, pay attention. Keep a little notepad, whether it's by your book or by your desk or something. Start writing down the things that you notice that are consistent. Like, oh, you know, I'm getting these little warm sensations like twice a day. I'm having like restless leg syndrome at night, which I never had before. I get headaches in the middle of the day, which I've never had before. All of a sudden I can't, you know, drink, or certain foods I can't eat, just little things that, again, they're not huge and big, but you notice them. And my clients with the greatest body awareness notice right away. And I always say, just start documenting that, because your body's the greatest feedback system you're ever going to have experience with. I mean, it is so amazing in what it tells us. It's whether or not we pay attention.
I love that.
And paying attention to those little things can give us gives us sort of a window into, well, here's what might be part of your menopause experience. So if you're having these tiny little like warm, tingly sensations, that could be an indication that, you know what, going into menopause, you may develop hot flashes. They may become worse. They may not, but that just is something to be aware of. So what are the things that I can start doing now to help me either minimize or, you know, kind of, I said, sometimes take the edge off. So there's certain things, adaptogens like ashwagandha, things like that, that we can recommend to women and say, you know, you can include these things holistically. Make sure you're drinking your water, get plenty of exercise and movement. Make sure you're getting your sleep. But these are, those little things are glimpses of what can come. And they give the opportunity now to start making lifestyle changes to help the transition not be as difficult for you.
Yes. And that's why I love having these kinds of conversations, because, you know, we have women of all different ages that are tuning in. And I think once I say perimenopause or menopause, maybe some of my teenage or 20-year-olds are like tuning out, you know, they're like, oh, this is not a conversation for me.
Right.
But the whole point is that we're trying to help set you all up for success, no matter where you're at on this big, long journey of being a woman. And I love what you said, Tanya, our body is, it's made to communicate with us through symptoms. And so it's whether we are paying attention, and the quicker we pay attention and listen to what our body's trying to tell us, and we try to kind of course correct in a way, that is when we're able to allow ourselves to go through this just natural, unavoidable transition of our life, but do it in a way that is not going to be miserable, that's not going to be debilitating, that's not going to sideline us from everything that we know and love. So it's not something that we're going to have to be fearful of. And I love that. So yeah, it can give us little clues like, okay, you know, this might be something that if we keep going down this path, like you're saying, and you start having these little warm sensations, then if you keep going down that path, by the time that you hit menopause or right before menopause, you're going to be like full-blown night sweats and hot flashes all the time. And it's going to make your life really miserable. But if we can listen to the body and make the course corrections needed with our nutrition, with our sleep, with our movement, with our, all of those things, it really can make this so that it's just a really wonderful time of life, something that we can really just embrace and go through with just a lot of grace.
It's, yeah, you know, it's another, I think as women, we really do have amazing lives.
You do.
Because in almost all these transitions, we go through puberty, we get into that phase of life where we're having cycles, and we get into that phase of life where we're having children, and then we transition out of that, and then we go into menopause. But every one of those phases gives us the opportunity to have a very powerful role in our health and well-being. So when you think back to, if you are a mother, if you've had children, the minute you find out you're pregnant, the minute you find out you're pregnant, you start doing all the good things.
Right, right.
You become a very active, powerful person in your health and wellness for you and your baby. So you rarely meet a, you know, you rarely, I mean, it, sure, there are examples, but you rarely meet a woman who's like gets pregnant and continues to drink and smoke and just not take care of herself. Mm-hmm. Most women are like, they're doing prenatal classes. They're walking, even if they haven't done it before, they become a little more active. They stop drinking. They, you know, they're doing all, reading the books and doing the vitamins. They're doing all the right things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with menopause, because it's not necessarily the end of something and that's it. It's the end of one phase, and you're going into a different season. You're going into a season where you actually do get to spend more time focusing on yourself, because you probably raised your kids, or they're at least at an age where they don't need you the way they did when they were little.
Right.
So now more than ever at this point in time, when you're hitting perimenopause and menopause, you should have, or at least please make the time to be that, you know, it's a very powerful spot to be very actively involved and take a powerful role in your health and wellness. Because getting older doesn't mean getting old.
Right.
How you age is very much, I mean, you can't avoid it. We're going to get older. We do not live forever. But how you age, in a large part, has a lot to do with how do you want to do that? I mean, there are some things that can happen that are unavoidable. I understand that. But overall, you know, we're all sitting in a very, very powerful position
Right.
To lead the way in how we get older, how we live, the kind of fulfillment and joy we have in our life, because our body's always talking to us. Mm-hmm. It's always telling us, like, I didn't like that. Please don't do that again. Mm-hmm. Or I really like that. Do this more. And you know, because you feel it.
Right. Because your body lets you know. Yeah. Your body is always keeping the score and letting you know. And it's doing so out of love. You know, our body's trying to work with us. And that sounds weird because, like, we're not separate from our bodies. But if we can just learn to not think of this as like something negative or something, you know, to dread, I think is so empowering. So I love everything that you just said, Tanya, and I'm just going to put a big amen behind that. Tanya, do you mind? I want to kind of just share a little bit personal, because do you mind me asking how old you are?
Yes, I just turned 54 last week.
Awesome. So are you menopausal?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. I love that. I am perimenopausal, but I am just knocking on menopause's door, right? And so I love sharing with the audience some of the things that we do personally, because girls, we're just like everybody that's listening today. Like, we're all going through this together, and maybe we're a few steps ahead of you, or maybe we're a few steps behind you, but I just love to like talk like we're just a bunch of good girlfriends that are giving our very best tips. So tell me what you felt like your 40s were like when you first started going into perimenopause, and did you do things that helped to support your health, and how did you get through all of this so successfully?
Right. Well, I loved my 40s.
Great.
And
I love that.
Loving my 50s even more, because honestly, look, when I hit my 40s was when I actually got involved in professional bodybuilding. I was in the women's figure area. So I started competing. Now when you want to compete, it's a very different kind of lifestyle. It's very strict and rigid. So I started paying more attention to things like my, you know, the type of physical activity I was doing. I was very focused on the gym and strength training and, you know, building a certain amount of muscle and keeping that nice feminine physique. Nutrition was obviously a big part of it. So I had very good coaches. So I wasn't coached in a way where some women have been very good. I'm sure most of us have heard the term bro science,
right,
where they diet you down and it's just terrible. And that I had really, really good coaches that always prioritized my health as a woman.
Love that.
Coming out of competition, you know, because there is an element of like dieting down that's a very short window. But that coming out of it, I had the coaching coming out of it to get me back into like normal life without those extremes, because there is a certain amount of metabolic adaptation. I mean, I trained really intensely for 9 years and competed.
Wow.
And then when I was done with it, I was like, okay, I need to get back into a normal life. I can't be walking around at, you know, 9 and 11% body fat for the rest of my life. A, it's not healthy.
Right.
And that's short term. Like that's a, you know, couple days thing. So, yeah, I loved my 40s, and I really, when I came out of that part of like that sort of thing that I wanted to do with the bodybuilding, I had such a respect for my body, for what it could do when I asked it, what it would do when I pushed it. So I thought, now I need to be really, really kind and gentle with my body. A, it gave me 3 amazing children. It gave me this opportunity to get up and you know, compete and hit goals that I wanted to, that I was told I could never because of other health issues I had. And I was strong. Like I was strong. I was strong mentally. I was strong physically. And I knew, I'm like, I just kind of feel like I'm at the beginning of my best years.
I love that.
And I wanted to keep that going as long as I could. Now, when some of the pre and perimenopausal stuff started happening, I did have moments where I was like, oh, I... really? You know?
Yeah. But, what is this? Yeah.
I just had to check in with my head and go, okay, this is a transition. Like you knew it was coming some point. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to do this? You know, it's things are different, that my body's responding differently to things than it did in its 30s and in its 40s. And so I just continued to always and still do like honor my body.
Good.
It's so good to me. And I figure as long as I continue to communicate with it, if my body, my brain and my body can live in harmony, I'm probably looking at some really awesome senior years ahead of me.
You are. You are. I love that you shared this because I think it's so inspiring. Because, you know, I was in the health and fitness world too as a younger woman, and still am into health and fitness, but just not doing it professionally. But I know that when I was kind of being raised, I was always had the idea that once you hit your 40s, you kind of start going downhill and that things change and your body's not going to be able to build muscle and you're not going to, you know, you're going to lose your fitness level. I don't know, all of those things. And right. I've loved in my 40s feeling like, no, absolutely. This is, I'm entering into a phase of life that I love. I love. And I think that it's important for women, no matter if you're 20-year-old, 30-year-old, or you're now in your 40s or beyond, you realize that no, it's always your time. It's never too late. It's always your time. And so just listen to your body and honor it and take good care of it. I love that. Now, I do want to ask, I'm sorry if this does get personal because I think I can ask you these questions, but you can just tell me to stop asking if you're like, no, none of your business. But I would love to know, because I do have a lot of women that reach out to me wanting to know my thoughts on maybe starting some bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and when would be the time to start doing that. So I'm just curious with you, when you were, if you've gone down that road, first of all, and then if you did, or if you have, when did you start or what do you recommend now?
Right. Well, I haven't, but I'm not, and I'm not for any, like, it's not because I'm against it or for it. That again becomes a very specific to the person.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that is a conversation. I believe in health teams. You know, I believe that, you know, traditional Western medicine doctors have their place in our health and wellness. And particularly if they can work in cooperation with, you know, health coaches or nutrition coaches or whatever it is, whoever it is that you align with that, you know, that's giving you good guidance. So, you know, there's a lot of things with supplementation that we can do to help women as they're going through menopause and help with hormones and, you know, doing our best to keep them as balanced as possible to make that transition smoother.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the reality is too, your hormones are not going to be what they were in their 20s because they don't need to be. You're at an age where your body is not wired to be having babies when right. you're in your, I mean, that's just like, when you look at biologically, we're designed like at a certain age to, we're primed for childbirth and, you know, then we're primed to like take care of the baby, to feed the babies, take care of the babies and all right. of that. We're kind of past that. We're in a winter season. Now it's just about us. It's about us taking care of ourselves, being healthy and happy so we can enjoy our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our career. You know, we get to enjoy all that. And if we can enjoy it in great health, that's even better. So when it comes to things like bioidentical hormones and that kind of help, that's the Western medicine, that's their field, that really becomes, I really would say, this is a conversation you have with your doctor. This is a conversation you have after lab work is done. If you're working with a holistic nutritionist or a nutrition coach or whoever it is you're choosing to, there's a lot of things when we look at blood work, we can look at that and go, okay, here's what the numbers are telling us. Now, here are some supplements that you can take that can help with this. And let's see what happens after 90 days. Let's do the labs again and see if there's been any improvement. And if there is, great. Maybe you can maintain that for a while. If there hasn't been any improvement, then it comes back to having a conversation again and going, okay, so what are the options? Do we continue with supplementation and some mild HRT? Do, you know, that, you know, where HRT comes in, how much of it comes in, that is a conversation between you and your doctor. But it really has to be a very full conversation. I think it's wise to look at the labs. I think it's wise to consider supplementation as either part of the process or the initial process. That's just my personal opinion on that.
I'm with you on that a lot. You know, it's all, I really want this conversation to be kind of geared towards how we do find the balance between natural health practices and modern medicine. And so I'm always just an open book and I'll share. I am all for starting to test your hormones as soon as you start feeling like things are starting to shift. And so that could be 35 years old for some women. It could be once you start getting into your 40s. It just depends on you. And you're right. We're all bio individuals. We're all different and we're going to be doing things at a different pace than than one another. But I do think understanding your hormone profile is key, and getting a team around you, that's also just so key. And getting people that come from different backgrounds and have different approaches is going to be to your benefit. I'm always a lifestyle and nutrition first kind of gal. I'll always say do what we can and on our own. But I also do want to put out there that when you understand what's happening with you hormonally, and as you start to shift and hormones do naturally start to decline, there is a lot that we can do through supplementation. There's some powerful, you know, plant medicines in a way out there that are available to us that are very, very helpful. For instance, I own a company called Mixers, and we do supplements for women specifically. They're formulated, and I use all natural ingredients. And you know, we have Hertime, which is going to be our formula that helps to support us, especially, I mean, at all phases and stages of our life, but especially as we're going through this perimenopause stage, because what it's going to help doing is through nutrition, it's going to help to support your body's own progesterone production. And then also just helps your body with detoxification so that you can keep that progesterone and estrogen, you know, kind of balance. Because during this phase of life, that's where we tend to struggle a lot. All of a sudden our progesterone starts to decline first and we tend to become estrogen dominant. And a lot of the hot flashes and the unexplained weight gain and the low libido and the insomnia and all of those things can often be tied to that type of a hormone imbalance. So using some supplements it's been a game changer for a lot of women. And then as we start going into end stages of perimenopause and through menopause, we have what's known as HerThrive. And what HerThrive has is it has these powerful phytoestrogens, which are Mother Nature's natural estrogen for us. They give us the benefit of estrogen, of what estrogen does in our body. So it can help to reverse some of the symptoms that are associated with menopause, like maybe vaginal dryness or low libido, or all of these things. And it can be very powerful. Now, with all of that being said, like those are just things I love to share because it's so good to know that that exists. But I also think that if you can work with a good functional medical doctor that's going to understand what's going on, that we can actually start to implement maybe even before menopause, if needed, to do some kind of hormone replacement therapy. And I always recommend bioidentical hormone replacement therapy as opposed to like the synthetic forms of hormone replacement, just because I feel like less long-term negative side effects and whatnot. But I just think that you just need to stay open-minded and you need a team that's going to really listen to you. And just like Tanya said, just tailor what it is, like what your journey looks like for you. Because we can definitely take advantage of both worlds, the natural world, as well as the medical world, the Western medical world, to be able to support us through all these different phases.
No, absolutely. And I would also like to say, like, to women out there listening, you really have to be an advocate for your own health. Sometimes you might have to see a few doctors to find the one that's the right fit. It doesn't mean that other doctors are bad, but you really have to find the one that's going to listen to you. That's why it's also, in my opinion, really important when you start to notice some changes that you document them or write them down. And you find that doctor who's willing to listen to you and also who's open to embracing what it is your functional nutrition doctor or your holistic health practitioner has been doing with you, what you have been doing, because it can become very overwhelming when you're getting information from all different sources. And it can also be very, it can make you want to, with some people, the minute they find out, well, this is perimenopause, boom, they freak out, they panic, they want to do all the things right away. And I'd be like, hey, just step back. Just remember, this is a normal, natural process that your body goes through. Now, how you go through it can definitely be managed and navigated to a point. So before you jump off the diving board into the pool of all the things that might help you, take a step back, really get clarity on what is it that you're really noticing that's different. Like, is it just that your periods have changed, but you haven't really noticed anything else? Okay, well, just write that down. And always remember when your last period was, because they always ask you, and I'm always that one sitting there going, I don't know, it's been a couple months.
I know.
Because the more that you can tell them, the better they can help you. And same thing when clients come to me, it's a lot easier for me to dive in the more they can give me. I don't know what their body's been doing. I don't know what it's been telling them, but they can. And I always have in their sheets when they check in every week, I have a biofeedback sheet that I give them. And I'm like, of all the things you do, if you don't do any of the other things I ask, if you at least fill in this biofeedback form, which takes you off about 3 minutes, that is the greatest piece of information that you can bring to our meetings every week. Because when I read that, at least I know what happened this week. How did you feel? How did you respond? I can actually take that and come up with, we're going to stay on the same plan, or I think we should increase this. I think we should add this. I think we can get rid of this. I go on what your body's telling me, because that's what's teaching all of us. So if you can find a team that is willing to listen to all of that and collaborate on what's the best program for you, then you've got a winning formula, but you have to be a part of it. You have to be part of it. You can't just settle like, if you're sitting in front of somebody and they're pushing a bunch of things on you and it doesn't feel right, then go speak to somebody else until you find that right fit where you feel heard. And you feel like this is somebody that's going to guide me through this in the best possible way.
Oh, yes, exactly. Like, you are the most important part of this team, right? You need to make sure. And I found that when I was working with clients too, when I would get that information from them, whenever we would have our visits, a lot of times the clients that I was working with, they actually were able to come up with what their bodies needed, you know, at that time, the plan. They helped to actively create the plan for them that helped them to heal, to, you know, to transition, whatever it was that our goals were. They really were just learning to become more intuitive, learn how to understand the language of their body, and learn how to be their own best health advocates. And it's incredible. I just think this is so empowering. What a fun and awesome conversation this is, Tanya. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience before we start to say goodbye?
Just a reminder of the things we have talked about. It's not, you know, it can seem scary or daunting, like that you're going into menopause, because there's this mindset of like, well, you know, it's, I've had my kids and I've had this and I've done that and life is over. I'm going through menopause. No, it's a whole new phase of life that's beginning and opening up for you. And again, you get to be the greatest, most powerful sort of, you know, participant in that. So be that participant, you know, step into that role and really embrace that harmonious relationship with your body and being a really, you know, really active role in that and, you know, having a really great transition and a great, I don't call it like senior years, but the menopause and onward life that you have, because this is your time. This is your time to do things that maybe you didn't do, maybe things that you put off because you did give all of yourself to other people and other things. You know, you probably volunteered, you probably helped out at school, you're probably driving kids around, you probably coached some teams, you might have been a dance mom, I don't know, but you're probably very busy. And now you get to step into your life and really put yourself first. And that's a really powerful, amazing place to be. So embrace that and love it.
Love it. And I love everything you said. So well said. Thank you so much, Tanya. You're awesome. I adore you. This is so great. I think that you are so inspirational. And I know that our audience is going to love to like follow along with what your journey is and what you put out into the world. And so I'd love for you to share with us all of the best ways that we can connect with you.
Sure. Well, you can find me on Facebook and you can find me on Instagram. You can also connect with me through, I take clients through The Educated Dieter. I'm a nutrition coach with The Educated Dieter. So you can either reach out to me personally to work with me there, or you can reach out to them and say you want to work with me. I'm actually going to be working with one of our own coaches myself. I've said for years, I've always had a coach. I'm a coach. But I've always had a coach. If I didn't believe in the coaching industry, I wouldn't be a coach. But as great a coach as I am for other people, I would never take on myself as a client. I need to be accountable to somebody. And I also need somebody that can give me a kick in the butt. On those days, we all have those days. It's like, I just don't doing the right thing. I'm going to be doing a little work with one of our coaches just for a few weeks to help me through some stuff that's happening. And it's going to be really cool. So Facebook, Instagram, The Educated Dieter. My email is very simple, tanyafines@gmail.com. And you can always get me there too.
I love it. Well, we'll make sure we make it even easier for our audience. We'll put all of these ways that you can connect with Tanya in the show notes. So, all right. Well, Tanya, thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation. It makes us look forward to going into all of these future phases of our life. And we can do so feeling empowered, and we can feel like we're just, you know, doing the best, and we're stepping into the best part of life. And I can't wait for that. So, all right, if you enjoyed this episode and it was something that you felt like the women in your life would benefit from, please share this episode with the girls in your life, because sharing is caring. I love these episodes. I love getting here and having these types of conversations that can really help us to be able to live our very best lives. And I hope you'll join us again next time. We drop new episodes every single Tuesday. Until then, have a very happy and healthy week. Bye.